Fierce winds and crashing waves terrorized those experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They knew they were in mortal danger as the waters poured in from outside their little vessel. So those frightened men did the only thing they knew to do, and that was to call out to the Lord. And they got to see that day that even the winds and the sea obey him. Well, that wasn't the last time that our Savior stilled the sea in response to the cries of his disciples. Welcome to Pocketing God's Promises, a practical podcast where we consider inspiring stories of missionaries and gospel workers of the past and reflect on timeless truths that still transform our lives today. Whether you're a pastor, parent, missionary, or another believer seeking to live a life of deeper consecration to Christ, this podcast is for you. Join us as we learn from these examples of the past to take God at His Word today. I'm John Crocker.
And I'm Tim Berry.
Today's episode of Pocketing God's Promises teaches us that Christ still stills the sea. And we will see that truth in a story from the life of Darlene Dibler-Rose.
Many have heard of Darlene Dibler-Rose, missionary to the Indonesian side of the island of New Guinea. In her day, it was Dutch New Guinea, the western side of the island, today known as Papua, Indonesia. And Darlene was en route to New Guinea to join her husband, Russell. He had gone on ahead several months before to prepare the way. Having a woman among the Kapauku peoples had become essential to believing that Russell and other foreigners were not from the spirit world, but they were actually human. Idun Tori, a local chieftain, had showed Russell his Stone Age calendar consisting of a rattan string with 18 knots, one knot for each passing moon. And all of these passing moons, the foreigners I've seen, you are all men, he told Russell. None of you has a wife or children. If you are not spirits, who gave birth to you? When Russell countered that he had a wife, Idun Tori replied, where is she? Macassar? Russell replied. This would mean nothing to a man living 14 mountain ranges and 18 days of brutal travel inland on a completely different island from the island where Macassar was. Why has she not come with you? Russell wasn't sure how to reply in a way that would mean anything to this man. Our chieftain says no. If your chieftain is so bad in his stomach that he won't let your wives come, get rid of him. Russell protested, many men have died on the trail. Then your wife would have made it. Wherever we go, the women follow and carry the loads. In addition, as Russell tried to explain how Jesus had died for them, Idun Tori replied, that's all fine and good for you. If Jesus died for you, that means he did not die for us, because you're from the spirit world and we are human. Darlene must join her husband. So on January 23, 1940, Darlene had boarded a ship at Macassar to travel by inter-island steamer to Oeda on the island of New Guinea. On the way, they stopped at Ambon, the Dutch headquarters in the Spice Islands, where Darlene met up with another missionary wife, Viola, whose husband, Walter Post, was in the interior with her husband, Russell. They then continued their way by small government steamer toward Oeda. But it was the worst time of year to travel. A large sandbar lay at the mouth of the Oeda River, forcing anchorage far from the shore. In the rolling seas, there was no way to ferry passenger by lifeboats to the shore. The captain's only solution was to continue on to make the next stop and then eventually circle back. Much time would elapse. If the weather did not change by the following day, there would be no stop at Oeda. But Darlene and Viola, her missionary companion, felt that they must ask the Lord to intervene. Their husbands would have already arrived at the coast. There was no way to inform their husbands of the change of plans. No radio at Oeda. In addition, the Kapaukas were already on their way to the coast to help bring the women back, sent by Chieftain Idun Tori to help bring the foreigners' weak women into the interior. There was no money to take care of these men on the coast. Plus, the Kapaukus would be exposed to malaria. They'd never been to the coast before. Only the felt need to ensure the foreigners were human and not spirit people had moved them to make the trip. God, Darlene writes, was our only source of help. We prayed earnestly that he would still the wind and calm the troubled sea. By morning, the sky had begun to clear, the wind to abate, and when we came abreast of Ouida, the ship dropped anchor in the glassiest sea I had ever seen in all my trips around the world. In about an hour and a half, we and our cargo were lowered into a lifeboat and transported around the sandbar. Excitement mounted as I glimpsed Russell standing on the jetty. Once more, we were to be together, this time in New Guinea. But as I read that last paragraph from Darlene's own pen, I skipped a sentence. Words in that sentence that leaped off the page at me as I read them in her book. When she writes, "Today's seas are still subject to the Christ of Galilee." Today's seas are still subject to the Christ of Galilee. Her knowledge of what Christ could do and had done in the past emboldened her to ask her for his intervention in February of 1940. She had, to her mind, compelling spiritual reasons to make a request, and make her request to him, she did. Her words and example remind me of words from James 4, "You have not, because you ask not. Further, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." Motivated by concerns for those they sought to win to Christ, and pressing concerns for their care, she and Viola sought the help of the Christ who not only stilled the seas, but walked on them, and he heard.
I'm impressed when we're thinking about the request, the prayer request of these ladies, that they were so focused on the gospel need. They were not praying selfishly just to be able to see their husbands and be with their husbands again. They were praying with a view to the fulfillment of God's purposes for the salvation of the Kapalkas.
Right, exactly. And it makes me wonder how many times in our lives, if in the right circumstance, with the right motives, if we would have cried out to the Lord and sought him about some of these things, that he would have heard us. We just kind of succumb to our circumstances.
We think about our circumstances. I think that's where this story ministers to us, and their commitment to prayer ministers to us so deeply and convicts us so much, because God, he does ordain circumstances for us even today that are far beyond our control. You think about these ladies, and there's the storm, and they're not going to get across unless Christ does something to change those circumstances, to still the sea. And we do so often, by God's own ordination, we do find ourselves in similar circumstances that are just far beyond our control.
And maybe we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, this is just the way it is. You got to roll with the punches. And instead of the faith of these ladies, okay, there's gospel reasons why I need to pray and I should pray. And they cry out to the Lord about it.
And I think that's one of God's goals in putting us in circumstances.
Exactly.
Like, he's not simply after the solution. He wants to teach us not to trust in ourselves, but rather to cry out to him. And that's, I think, one of the reasons the ladies were in those circumstances. This team, missionary team, was in those circumstances. It was in order to have this experience and cry out to Christ in this way.
And when you look at Christ's own teaching of it, I mean, the command is ask. It's not just a suggestion. It's actually a command. Ask. And obviously, we're not to ask demandingly or selfishly or dogmatically as if we know better than the Lord does, but he wants us to ask clingingly, believingly, expectantly. I mean, if we as evil fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more does our Father in heaven?
Maybe you're listening today and you do have some holy ambition, some godly ambition, like this team that we're talking about today, wanting to reach these people with the gospel. Maybe you have some holy ambition. Maybe there's somebody that you want to reach with the gospel, and that person's heart is just as hard as a rock. Or maybe there's a situation and there's reconciliation needed between two parties that are at odds with each other. Or maybe there's some family conflict, some family issue that's been around for a long, long time, and you're just wanting to see that sorted out. Maybe you're thinking about your future, and you're wondering what steps you need to take as you desire to follow Christ, and you're just perplexed about what to do next. Well, all those circumstances and so many others like those do create turmoil in the soul. And I think I love the story we've heard today and what it teaches us, that Christ still stills the sea. And in your perplexity, you can call out to him, remembering you have not because you ask not.
Thank you for listening to Pocketing God's Promises, a podcast of GFA Missions. If we could serve you or help you as you carry out the Great Commission, please visit us at gfamissions.org/pocketing. Until next time, remember to pocket God's promises and take him at his word today.